Welcome to another vital message from Pastor Ron Hemmons, Senior Pastor of Golden Triangle Church on the Rock in Southeast Texas. We're so glad you're joining us. For more information about Golden Triangle Church on the Rock Ministries, visit our website, cotr.com. Enjoy the word.
Well, today, 1 Thessalonians, the first chapter, let me catch you up on just a quick word from Thessalonians. The Apostle Paul started the church in Thessalonica in about the year 50-51, something like that. He stopped through there because he'd been, you know, released from jail in Philippi. Recently, I taught on this, but and he came down south and a little bit west to Thessalonica. And he stayed there at least three Sabbaths. Some people believe that he was there a little bit longer. But we know for sure he mentions he was there in Acts 17. He was there for three Sabbaths. And people got born again, specifically a lot of notable women, women of some higher echelons and higher rank. And evidently they had a little bit of money. And it doesn't seem as though that there were just a few people. There were a lot of people, Jews and Gentiles, that got born again. And the church started, but the Apostle Paul was run out of town. And we know that he perhaps had taken up some residence, some lodging, with a man named Jason. And also the Apostle Paul would say that he worked night and day while he was there because he did not want the church, he didn't want the church to think that he was there for money. So he worked night and day to provide his living, and Silas and Timothy, they did everything they could to provide their own living while he preached the gospel of Jesus Christ and taught people. Well, the Apostle Paul had to leave town. When he left town, he went on down to Berea and then on to Athens. And, in Berea, of course, people from Thessalonica went down there and continued to cause him trouble. So he had to leave there and go to Athens. And when he got to Athens, he was by himself for a while. And you know, he was a little depressed. We can know from his writings that he was just, you know, he was wrestling with, have I done any good? Have I made any impact? I'm tired. So then he leaves Athens and goes to Corinth. And Timothy and Silas meet him in Corinth. And it's from Corinth that he writes this letter because he finds out, as we understand, that the church in Thessalonica has done great and it's growing. And he was so concerned that he was spending his life for nothing. I mean, churches that he had, you know, raised up. I am so happy that the very first church I ever pioneered in 1980 is still going on. It's still there having church. I was thinking about this just this past week. Man, how neat is that? You know, the first church, and I started with seven people in a little trailer house. It's still going on today. You know, how wonderful. And they're doing works of God, you know, in the community and around the world. How great is that? Well, the Apostle Paul was sad, but when news came to Thessalonica, news came to him that the church in Thessalonica was growing and it was doing well, he sat down and he wrote them a letter in about AD 52, that's a reasonable time period from Corinth, and he writes to them and he's going to encourage them and he's going to just, you know, he's all excited now, okay? And so he writes, in the first chapter, let's just look through a few verses. He says to the church in Thessalonica, you know, look what he said in verse 1, grace and peace to you. And notice he mentions God the Father and Jesus Christ, you know, our Lord. And then he starts talking in verse 2 that I'm very thankful. In verse 3, I remember you without ceasing. I remember your work of faith, your labor of love, and your patience of hope. We're going to come back to that in just a moment. In our Lord Jesus Christ and the sight of God the Father. Okay? And then in verse 4, he talks about them knowing, beloved brethren, your election to God. He's saying, you have been chosen special by God. You're special. The Apostle Paul is packing so much in these first 10 verses, first few verses even, okay? He's talked about Jesus. He's talked about God. He's talked about their election. He's talked about their love. He's talked about their hope. He's talked about their faith. He's talked about their patience. He's talked about their works, and verse 5, he includes the gospel for our gospel. I mean, he's talking about the gospel. I mean, he is putting so much in here that figure into our church doctrine. He also talks in verse 5 about the power of the Holy Spirit. And, he's throwing God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the power of God, your patience, your election, you know, the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, I mean, he is just throwing everything in here. And, and then in verse 6, you became followers of us. You know, I mean, you're following what we taught you and the Lord. Oh, my goodness. And you received the word. It wasn't easy for you. You received, I mean, he's given us a picture of the kingdom. He's given us a picture of the church. He's given us a picture of Christendom. You received all of this in much affliction, but also you were happy in the Holy Ghost. You know, it was hard for you to change. It was hard for you to change from being, you know, a Jewish tradition to following Christ and following us. It's very hard for you to follow me in Thessalonica because people in Thessalonica don't like me. But yet you're doing this. You know, you've done it well. And verse 7, and you became examples. You started doing things yourself that other people are following. Other people are catching hold of the gospel because of you. And then in verse 8, for from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth. Now, not only in Macedonia, he said, but all Achaia. Listen, you have impacted your whole state, your whole nation. Now, he is just saying this in the first few verses. Can you see how much the Apostle Paul, if we only had this picture of what we were supposed to do, talking about the gospel and the power of the Holy Spirit and the election, that we have been chosen by God special, and my goodness, the church that was young and it was strong, and they were sending the word of God out. They were taking the word, they were being examples in their community, but they were also sending the word of God out to their region and out to their nation. He said basically in every place. And your faith toward God, and in verse 8, has gone out. Really, we don't need to say anything. For they, the works that you are doing, they declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you. This confirms the fact that I made an impact. And not only that, but many of you turned from serving idols to the living God. My goodness. You know, and verse 10, that last verse in chapter 1, and to wait for his son from heaven. He's given them a picture of a future as well. Am I making any sense at all? I know I'm covering this, but this first chapter of Thessalonians, in 1 Thessalonians, gives us such a broad, I mean, the Apostle Paul is so excited, and he's throwing everything at him. I mean, he's you were saved, you became followers, you became examples, you became missionaries in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it wasn't easy, but you did it with joy, the joy of the Holy Ghost, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, and all, you know, I mean, it is amazing, okay? And he's really building them up, and he's just giving them a whole picture and letting them know that Jesus is the one that delivers us from the wrath to come. He's giving them a picture of a victory, of eternal victory. Isn't that amazing? And then the last days we went, I love how much of the gospel, how much of the doctrine, how much of the church, how much of the word, how much of the good news is in this. In these few verses, am I getting across to you? I know I'm going fast, but let's look back if we would here in verse 3. Okay, now he tells them, I'm always praying for you in verse 2, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God, our God and Father. Now, this is not the last time that the Apostle Paul is going to talk about hope, faith, and love. You know, in fact, he's going to write to the church in Corinth that there are three things that abide: hope, faith, and love. The greatest of these is love. You know, I mean, he's coupling these things as an outcropping of having had a true, real experience as an individual and as a church, a real true experience with God the Father, with the Holy Spirit, under hardship, under difficulties. I can see in you. I mean, I do not cease to make mention of you in my prayers because I remember, you know, I remember your work of faith. That word work is one of the concepts we get the word energy from. Okay, it literally means acts. you know, your acts of faith. And here he's coupling, he's creating a doctrinal confirmation here about the marriage of faith and works. Just like in Hebrews 11th chapter, by faith. Romans the 4th chapter, you know, Abraham was a father of faith because of what he did. James writes, you know, show me your faith without works. You can't, you know. If you have faith, you're going to have corresponding action. And here he is creating another confirmation to the doctrine that faith is an act. Faith is not just an acquiescence. Faith is not just an acceptance. Faith is not just some ethereal acceptance of a truth in God. Faith demands action. If we have faith in Jesus, we're going to do some things. In fact, they did. They not only were examples and not only enduring affliction, yet they kept joy and they carried the gospel out to their whole known world in that region. Why? Because he could see that faith is action. He could see it in them. He could see their faith. How do you see somebody's faith? You can only, I can tell you all day long that I have faith. But it's how I act. It's how I act with my money. It's how I act with my time. It's how I act in the midst of my problems. It's how I act in good days and in bad days. It's how I act toward my neighbor. It's how I act in church. Have I accepted the truth and faith? Trust in the truth. This word faith here is pistis. Trust in the truth. Do I demonstrate that I believe Jesus Christ? Can you see that in me? And that's what he's saying. I can see in you that you trust in God. You're acting that way. Look at this. He also said the second thing when he talked about love, labor of love. Very interesting Greek word, this labor of love. In fact, do you know the word labor there means basically even to undergo a beating? Interesting, huh? Toil. It means trouble. Sometimes it's hard to love people. Sometimes it's toil. Sometimes it's work. Sometimes it's trouble. You know, there's a song that says, you know, when you love someone, you know, you'll do anything. You'll do all the crazy things you can't explain, you know. And it says, your lonely nights have just begun when you love someone. You know, love is trouble. And that's what he's saying. Love is trouble. Love is not easy. Love is hard. This agape love here that he's talking about here. It is hard. It's laborious. It's labor. In fact, that's what he's talking about. Your labor of love. I not only see that you trust God by the way you act, but I also see that you work hard at loving people. Loving people is not easy. You work hard. It's trouble. You embrace trouble. You absolutely, you know, allow yourself to be beat up. And you still love. You love people that don't love you. You're not just loving the easy people. I remember you in my prayer because I see what you're doing. I see that you are paying a price to love people. I see that you are laboring, you're toiling, you're going through trouble, you're going through pain. It also means pain. This particular concept here is connected, this labor connected to pain. It's like, you know, birthing a child. You go through this for this. You go through, you know, love is not something that we just go to. Love is something that, he's saying this agape love, is something that you're going to have to work at. You're going to have to labor in. You're going to have to toil. It's going to be trouble. It's going to be difficult. And sometimes you're going to feel like that you just get the hell beat out of you because you are a lover. Because you love them, they can hurt you, but you love them. They can disappoint you, but you love them. Love is a labor. He connects here the fact that faith is an act, but love is a labor. Love is hard. Love is not easy. Love is difficult. Love is painful. Love is hard. That's what he's saying here. I love this concept. Rather than saying, hey, I love you, or somebody talking on love, oh, we should all love one another. Do you know how hard it is to love people? And yes, we should love one another, but don't think that we can just love somebody. Love is hard. Walking the love walk is hard. Putting somebody else in front of you is hard whenever they don't care about you. When they don't like you, they don't care about you, whenever they butt in line, and whenever they are selfish and you're connected to somebody that is just a real pain in the rear, and you gotta love them anyway. People that don't love Jesus, people that crucified him, that's what Paul is saying. You know, Thessalonica, Paul loved Thessalonica, and the people there treated him horrible, but he was in a labor. He understood in order to be a Christian in that city, it's going to be hard for you to keep on loving the people that God wants you to love. He wants to reach them by love, labor of love. I see your labor. You know, I see a lot of people not laboring in love. I see a lot of people that say I love you, but don't love. I see a lot of people that think they love people, but they don't. They love themselves. And he is pointing out that the church in Thessalonica, the evidence of their conversion is he can see their faith and he can see that they're loving, and he knows that love is trouble. They're embracing trouble. And then he says, patience of hope. These three things are powerful. These three things abide: hope, faith, and love. Patience of hope. This Greek word for patience is the Greek word hupomene. It means to endure, to persevere. You see, because it is in our perseverance that we demonstrate hope. When you stop hoping, you stop. When you stop hoping, you stop. There's no need of patience if you're not going to hope. There's no need of perseverance, okay? If I'm out here trying to pull a fence post up, I'm going to pull it up because I have hope I can get it up. But the moment that I lose hope that I can get it up, I'm going to walk away from there. You think I'm going to keep on doing something I don't think I can do? He said, but I see you. I see you not losing hope, because I can see your hope in that you're still working on it. You're still doing it. You're still busy at it. You haven't given up hope. You haven't given up. The moment that you give up, the moment that you lose hope, you'll lose patience. You'll lose perseverance. You'll lose the ability to keep on doing it once you lose hope. And I've been sitting with that person whenever they looked me in the eyes and they said to me, I no longer have hope. And I've seen them quit. No longer willing to endure. Whether they no longer have hope that a relationship is going to change. When you lose hope that your relationship is going to change, you will give up on it. You'll quit. Perseverance comes because of hope. Work comes because of faith. The ability to endure all the trouble comes because you love. If you can keep having faith, you'll keep working for Jesus. If you can keep loving, you will endure the trouble and the hardship and the pain. You'll put up with the pain. And if you can keep hoping, you can keep moving forward. Persevere. That's what the Apostle Paul saw. He saw here that remembering without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love, your patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God and Father, knowing this is the reason why we can keep hoping, keep believing, keep loving, knowing, beloved brethren, your election. You've been chosen by God. Chosen for what? Chosen to have faith, to love, and to hope. and just keep on. Well, we've been chosen by God. Amen.
Thanks again for joining us for another relevant word from Pastor Ron Hemmons. Visit cotr.com and subscribe to our social media platforms to stay up to date. As well, receive more encouraging messages from our pastor and details of the work we're doing both in our community and communities like ours around the world. Today and every day, God bless.